Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We are grateful to God for his word to us today. So last week, am I still not on?
It seems to be coming through.
Hello?
Is that not? That's
it's very obvious.
Thank you. Brothers, I hope this is all being recorded, you know, all this fiddling. Okay, so last week we began a series of reflections, God is, that's going to take us from New Year all the way up to Easter. God is. And these are all the headings that we're going to be following each week. God is love, God is creator, God is saviour, God is holy, God is silent sometimes. God is parent. God is Jesus. Put in there, God is revealed in Jesus. God is faithful. God is just. And God is life. And that should take us all the way up to Easter Sunday itself. And you'll see love is there at the top in capital letters, because that's what we're reflecting on today. God is love. This has probably become my favourite understanding of God. I didn't used to fully understand that God is love. I didn't used to understand that God is love. God was many things to me when I was growing up, being brought up in church, hearing at least one sermon every week, sometimes three or four sermons a week. Can you imagine? Three or four sermons a week. It took me a long time to understand that God is love. And we've just read from 1 John chapter 4, where the writer makes this explicit: God is love. What this means is that God in himself is love. Absolutely through and through we talk, and I've mentioned before. love. All the way through, it says, it reminds us that God is love. What this means also is that God cannot not love. Yeah? Get the double negative there? God cannot not love. It is an impossibility for God to not love. And sometimes we make a claim, you know, children sometimes ask, can God do anything? And of course, we boldly say, yes, God can do anything. Well, it's not true. God cannot do everything. He cannot not love. Yeah? It's an impossibility for God not to love. There are some things God cannot do. How does that feel? There are some things God cannot do. And the Bible tells us God cannot deny himself. He cannot not love. Through and through, all that he does is love. He can't help it because he is love. Now, I'm going to put up a number of words on the screen as we go through, and these all are like just kind of reminders, hooks. Louise can make these notes to remind her for next week. And these are all things that are true about God as love. And this is not a comprehensive study. I'm not saying everything there is to say about God is love, but this is a just kind of spanning something of what the Bible tells us about God. God is love. God creates in love. The opening chapter of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then the Bible continues in Genesis chapter 1, going through day by day how God created. And at the end of each day, what does God say? It is good. It is good. It is good. And then when we get to the end of that 6 days of creation, we're told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Very good. God saw all that he had made. Everything. Everything that the God of love had made, he looked at it and said, yeah, that's very good. It's very good. And sometimes we have this idea of God desiring to be harsh, desiring to punish, desiring to pay back evil with evil. And sometimes we preach that, sometimes we believe that, and we say that to others. Sometimes we believe it for ourselves, that if we have done wrong in some way, that God's response to us will be somehow to repay back the bad that we have done. And yet what Genesis chapter 1 tells us, the God who creates looks at all that he creates in love and says, it's very good. God has no intention of punishing. He does not create in order to punish. He does not create in order to be harsh. He creates because he is love. He creates that he may continue to love. And that's what Genesis chapter 1 reminds us, that God loves. And he says of everything he's created, it is very good. And that means that you are very good. Yeah? That means you are very good. God looks at you and you go, no, surely not. If God knew what I'd done, God does know what you've done. And he says, yeah, very good. I was proud of that. You're a good piece of work. He loves you. God is love. He creates absolutely in love because he cannot not love. Now, the next one, these are all beginning words beginning with C. So, the next one, God
connects. And this is about relationship. God, because God is love, He relates, He connects always. And so in Genesis, again, we have the story about how God created male and female in the image of God. God creates in love. And the names are given, Adam and Eve, to these two who were created. But then we are told that there comes a point at which Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. The one tree, apparently, that God had said, you must not eat of the fruit of this tree. You can eat of all the other trees, but not this one. But they ate of it. And for some reason they felt shame, and they hid themselves from God. And it is a wonderful, a beautiful thing, because God is love and God relates. God desires always to connect with people, with His creation. What we discover in this story is that as Adam and Eve in the story are hiding from God, God comes looking for them. Why? Because He is love. And the God who is love connects. And Jesus tells the story in Luke 15. You know the parables He tells there about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son? What happens is that the shepherd who's lost his sheep goes out looking. It's a picture of God. Searching, going out, connecting, can do no other. The woman who's lost the coin goes out searching her house for the lost coin. And the father, whose younger son has gone a great distance, waits and waits and waits, and then runs and hugs to welcome back the son he has lost. And very interestingly, about that story, the parable of the prodigal son, I'd not really connected with this thought before. But in the parable about the lost sheep, there's a very definite movement out to find the lost sheep. The woman searches and searches and searches for her coin. And in the parable of the prodigal son, who is the one the father goes out to find? It's actually the elder son. It's the elder son. The elder son leaves the party and says, I don't want any part of this. Dad, you're wasting your time and your energy and love on this younger son. He has rejected us. I've been here all the time. Why don't you heap all this celebration upon me? And the father goes out to try and bring the elder son back. I'll never notice it. I'm still learning. I never noticed that before. He goes out because the God who is love connects, relates, and He can do no other. And so this morning, God's heart as the God of love is to connect with you. Is to connect with you, is to relate with you, is to welcome you. Why does God forgive you? Because He's the God of love who desires to connect with you, to remove from you all your shame, so that you can know the joy of connecting with Him. The God of love calls. The God of love calls. There's a beautiful scene that is communicated in the beginning of Deuteronomy. How God says to the people of Israel, I have chosen you. I've chosen you not because you're better than everybody else. I didn't look at all the peoples in the world and think, well, these people are the most numerous, the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most intelligent, the most handsome. God says, I chose you, and you are the smallest and the weakest. And the lowest, but I chose you because I love you. I have chosen to put my love upon you. And in the beginning of Deuteronomy, the people are called by God. Now, be my people. And the call of God is insistent, calling people, because He is the God who loves. And of course, we can trace that into the New Testament when Jesus goes out and He calls James and John and Simon and Andrew and Matthew and Levi and the other disciples. He calls them because He is the one who demonstrates the Father's love. And this is what God does. God is love, the one who calls us. And this morning, God calls us. And He calls us by name and says, come. Come on a journey with me. Follow my Son, the Lord Jesus, and you will discover who you are, who you truly are, as you follow the Lord Jesus. God calls. He called, as we read in the Bible, and He calls today. Now, fourthly, God celebrates. The God who is love celebrates. Another favourite verse of mine comes in Zephaniah. When was the last time you read Zephaniah? Chapter 3. You know, it's not a book you can quickly turn up. But Zephaniah chapter 3 says that God rejoices over us with songs of joy. Yeah? God sings over us. We have to imagine those times, if you have children, when you were putting them to bed or whatever, did you sing to your kids? Did they want you to sing to them? Do you know? But sometimes it may be that you sang just out of sheer joy. And it is such a privilege to be a parent. It is also the toughest thing you will ever do in your life. But it is such a privilege to have a child. And sometimes, I'm sure we share this experience, sometimes your heart is so full of love for your children. You feel your heart would break just out of sheer joy at your children. And that's what Zephaniah tells us. God sings over us. He celebrates. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think it is. He sings over us. Songs over us. I wonder what he says. And of course, you know, I've just mentioned Luke 15. You know, the shepherd who goes to find the lost sheep and comes back. What does he do? He celebrates. The woman who goes searching for the lost coin and finds it celebrates. The lost son who returns home, there is a celebration. Why? Because God is a God of love. God is love. And God celebrates over us every time. Jesus says this is how it is in heaven. Every time someone returns home. Every time the penny drops and somebody says, I belong to God, but I've been living like I don't belong to Him. And they return home. God celebrates, and all the angels with Him. God chastises. God chastises because God is love. God chastises. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times already that we may have been brought up with this impression that the God who is love, even so, has somehow this desire to punish, to put down, even to destroy that which He has created in love. And the Bible uses this word chastise. God chastises. We could say God corrects. What God does when He disciplines His children, whom we're told God disciplines us because He loves us. It's like a train going down a track. And the train comes off the track. Can't go any further. If that train continues to move while it's kind of gone a bit off the track, it's going to ruin itself and ruin other things. So what might we do? Would we destroy the train? I don't suppose so. But somehow, I've no idea how you do this kind of thing, but your engineers be there to somehow get a crane and pick that train up and put it back on the track. And that's what God does. When we talk about God disciplining those he loves, chastising those he loves, what he is doing is not writing us off, but he's simply lifting us back onto the track. He's forgiving our waywardness. Whatever it was that caused us to go off track, to run away with whatever it was that captured our attention, he needs to deal with that. But then he puts us back on the track because he loves us. He does not leave us. He does not abandon us because he is love, and he cannot abandon those that he loves. And then God is love. God completes what he has begun. In the opening verses of Philippians, and you'll be familiar with this, and hymns have been written on this these verses. Verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1, I thank God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is love. If you're anything like me, sometimes you start a project, and then after a bit, you think, I've really messed this up. Just put it away. Take it to the dump. Put it on the garden fire. Whatever it is. But the writer to the Philippians can say, do you know what? Because God is love, he will not abandon you. But he will carry it on, this good work he is doing you in you. He will bring it to completion. He will complete what he has begun in you. Now, for some of us, that might be harder work than for others. I recognize that. And certainly, I think I must be a lot of work for God. Do you know? And that might be true for us. But God has promised he will bring it to completion. And sometimes we look at those who seem to be so far away from God. And yet the God who loves and creates in love looks on all he has created and says, it is very good. You are very good. And I will bring this to a place of glory and wonder. So God is love. That means he creates, he connects, he calls, he celebrates, he chastises. But he will ultimately complete what he has begun. To be continued. Jesus says to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all women and men know that you are my disciples. How does God's love continue? It is because we, being loved, love. Yeah? It is because we, being loved, loved. As we read earlier from 1 John chapter 4, we're reminded several times there, let us love one another. Let us love one another. And we take that command of Jesus. We love because he first loved us. May we be the continuation of this story. The God is love story. And let's pause and pray. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Father, we recognize we need to hear this good news again and again and again. God is love. He loves me. He loves all whom I know. He loves all that he made. He rejoices and celebrates over what he has made. And you are faithful, gracious Father, in your love. Help me today to receive and rest in your love. Thank you, Father, that in your love you forgive. There is no limit to your forgiveness. There is nothing that you need in order to forgive. You forgive because you love. Whether or not we want to receive it, you forgive. And you love. And you move towards us to restore us in love. And may we be the continuation of this story. That God is love. May others come to know that you are love because we love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to sing. Give your thanks. Let's stand together.